All good, Pastor David.
Okay. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. Welcoming you in today. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's Pastor David Johnson and welcoming you to our today's edition of Worship and Wisdom Wednesdays. It's me and Lady Nedra. And so I'm going to do some music today on my own. I have an instrumental solo that I'll do today of a song that is near and dear to my heart, and then we'll open up. The song is entitled My Tribute, or you may know it as To God Be the Glory. And we'll play some of that, and then we'll go on and we will share with our fourth part of the vitality of vision as we continue on in our power principles from the book of Proverbs, right? great things He has done. Amen. Well, let's open up with our prayer. Father, we just say thank you. We thank you for just this time together. We thank you for those that have gathered virtually, both at this time and those who will gather after and share in our worship and listen to the wisdom that only you can give. And so we pray that your spirit would empower me in this moment to speak words that are spirit and life to your people. In Jesus' name, Lord, only you can give us wisdom that can change our trajectory, that can give us to the place that you would have us to be. And so we're asking you to do the thing that only you as God can do. In Jesus' name, we thank you for it. Now say this with me. Heavenly Father, your word says, if I lack wisdom, I should ask you in faith without wavering, and that you would give it liberally without fault finding. I ask now for that wisdom, and I believe that I receive it. And I say with my Lord Jesus that I must be about my Father's business. Thank you for giving me your insight into my kingdom success. In Jesus' name, I pray expecting, amen. Now say this with me. I'm a believer of the Word of God. I am an epistle of the Spirit of God. I am a disciple of the Son of God. I am a finder of the destiny path of God for my life. Amen, amen. All right, I'm going to start my share. All righty. Share screen is loading. All right, I think I'm sharing. Your screen is sharing, okay. So again, welcome again to Worship and Wisdom Wednesdays. Please take the time to like and to share. Follow me wherever you're following on. If you're on Zoom, thank you. Also, wherever you find podcasts, I'm there. Under Destiny Generation Church on Facebook. I'm there under David Johnson Ministries International, and both of those are a part of our ministry expression. So we would like for you to take the time to follow us in both places. Amen? All righty. And here is the links that will allow you to do that. And please have others to participate with us as well. We definitely appreciate you and them for doing so. Amen. All righty. Going on from there. We're continuing on in our power principles from the book of Proverbs, specifically the vitality of vision. Proverbs 29 and 18 is for this entire series our main scripture, but we have been walking through several passages of scripture from there. The King David version of that scripture says, where there is no collective vision of a preferred future, self-control in the present becomes difficult. But the person who makes daily decisions in line with their desired destiny shall achieve happiness and success. Now, previously, as we talked about this, we went from really digging deep into Proverbs 29:18. Previously, we spent time talking about the relationship of the visionary, the vision, and committed people. That was both in Proverbs 29:18 and in Habakkuk chapter 2, 1 through 4. And then last week, we spent some time in Genesis 11, 1 through 9, and we dealt with the importance of unity, collective confession, and joint imagination. All right, so let's talk about some of that. We spent some time in Genesis 11. It said the whole earth, this is my version of it, had a homogeneous culture. They had a common ability to speak and make covenant, and they used that ability in the right way. We also said that their word for speech is that they use words as path, as a gateway for people who could build the vision. They built a path to a strong house. They had a common purpose. They use words in their most effective use in terms of collective confession and to co-create with each other in a way that vision is designed to help you to do. All right. Then verse 6 says, the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they have one language, and whatever they begin to do, now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. In the King James Version, nothing which they have, they won't be restrained from anything that they have imagined to do. That's why we say there's a joint purpose, imagination that goes together. And then we talked about that word that the scripture says that the people of united language and speech cannot be withheld from their collective purpose, from the collective purpose they imagine. If they can come together, if any people group could do this. Now, this is God speaking. If the Old Testament had a red letter edition, these words would be in red because this is the Godhead speaking amongst itself. And so then we took from this a definition of unity that we call the process of alignment of mind, mouth, motive, and movement. We call those points of leverage, such that every part is properly recognized with revelation, placed with purpose, utilized relationally, such that power is maximized and destiny fulfillment is realized. And of course, this is just review. So if you want the details on this one, then you got to go back if you weren't here. So here's some key points we talked about last time, not the full list, just part of it. It's power and unity. It's power and unity of language and speech. We said have conversation and collective meditation about work, results, and rewards. It says put individual excellence toward collective achievement and be willing to develop a vision that is complete and comprehensive. That part about, you know, bricks, mortar, a city, a tower, heaven, and a name, like that's the comprehensive nature of vision, I think, is one of the key lessons out of Genesis 11. As you are thinking through for the visionaries that are in this process where you have to set vision, you have to think through all of those things together as you think through whatever vision you're conceiving. And then the last point we wanted to make from last week was see your imagination as the womb of divine assignments that will trigger divine capabilities to be released in you. Now, today, as we think about our fourth lesson on vision development and fulfillment, I want to start with some definitions. I realized as I was going through my notes that I never gave you my short acrostic definitions for dream and vision, and I want to share those with you. Acrostic meaning that each letter spells, and each letter of the word is figured in the definition. Dream is a desired reality, energizing, accurate movement. And notice that there is a desire, a future, and then some movement towards it. And all of those are the way I think about the process of vision. I have a definition of vision, which is vivid imagery, sustaining inspired operations necessary for destiny fulfillment. The reality that we describe in the dream, the desired reality, is also vivid imagery, meaning that there has to be someone or some people group who really see the vision before you see it. And the imagery itself has to be vivid and motivational. You must see it, and it must compel you to move towards its fulfillment, or the vision itself won't come to pass. All right? You know, sometimes we use the term vision and dream interchangeably. Think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He gave his famous I Have a Dream speech. It was a desired reality for which he and the people that were with him were willing to sacrifice. Some, including him, sacrificed their life so that those of us, the beneficiaries, could actually live out the fulfillment of something that they did not actually themselves all live to see. So you could call his dream a vision. So you see, in that way, they're used interchangeably. Other times in scripture, dreams can be referred to as visions of the night. I will have some time, I think in my next session, I think I only got one more after this. I think I will exhaust it next week. But I will talk about the fact that there are sometimes vision is a strong desire that you have, but sometimes the Holy Spirit will actually give you an open heaven and see vision. And we'll look at folks that had that kind of experience in scripture. And then other times when you're in that in-between world, when you're asleep, when you're between your conscious and your subconscious, or the natural world and the spirit world, that in that dreams sometimes can be literally night visions. And we're going to show you that from scripture. Now, there is this other thing that I want to think about, this other definition that is more of a process definition. And it's what I call re-envisioning. To re-envision is the process and method by which the preferred picture of a prophetic future is purposefully examined, meditated, and integrated for the purpose of motivating proper actions for its fulfillment. Most times it's not enough to see a vision once. Sometimes you have to see it, re-see it. You have to take time to meditate it, to examine it, to think about all the implications of it. The process of really developing, defining, and refining vision sometimes requires that you not only envision it once, but re-envision is the word I like to think of it. If you remember in our previous lessons, we described how Jesus appeared to Paul and told Paul that he would appear to him in the future. And we said that because of that vision was the progressive picture of purpose. The progressive part requires that at times we re-envision the vision as we move along the road to destiny fulfillment. We also talked about this in Habakkuk 2, 1 through 4, that the visionary process of read, run, repeat, that you get to a point where you are positioned to receive vision, you take time to document what you receive, you run with it as you read it, but then as you move closer towards it, you'll see more details about the vision, and then you write those details, run with it, and repeat it again. So that re-envisioning is an ongoing process that you have to incorporate into your toolkit of being a person of vision, of being a visionary. All right. Now, today I want to talk to you about developing divine partnership and vision development and fulfillment. God wants to work with you to conceive and fulfill vision. In fact, it is a part of how he created you, particularly the third person of the Godhead called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, Holy Ghost, is terms you might have heard use, is particularly focused on conveying to you life purpose and principles through the language of vision and dreams. Holy Spirit wants to convey certain things to you through this language of visions and dreams. Let's look at that in the Word of God. Acts 2, 17 says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." That means they will proclaim spirit-based truth. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Here we see a different kind of differentiation. We see a nuanced differentiation of vision and dreams. When it describes young men as seeing visions, it means that they are to go on and act on their fulfillment. When old men dream dreams, it speaks of legacy and what they can see and declare that they may not live to fully walk in. Dr. Martin Luther King spoke in his last sermon before his assassination that he had looked over and seen the promised land. Then he said, I may not get there with you, but we as a people will get there, and I'm happy tonight. So in this vernacular of this scripture, he was having a dream in the sense of something that he had projected, but he would not participate in. Moses had a dream of going to the promised land. That dream became a vision for Joshua as he led the people in the promised land campaign. The key point we want to make here is that the Holy Spirit communicates the purposes of God in the language of visions and dreams. Let me say it one more time. The Holy Spirit communicates the purposes of God to his people in the language of visions and dreams. Please. I had invited you that could to go to us and be with us as we went to New Destiny Center Church on Sunday. If you did not, please take some time to go back and listen to the message that I shared there on receiving the wisdom of God, because I really laid some foundation about how the Holy Spirit can minister to you, and that's a very important thing. So you can see it at the David Johnson Ministries International page on Facebook or the New Destiny Center YouTube channel, all right? But good information is there. Now we want to continue on and just share with you about the ministry and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to help you fulfill vision. Zechariah chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was waking out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? So he's awakened out of his sleep and he's having a visionary experience. So he's being awakened, but he's awakened into a spirit realm where he can see something that's not physical. He's actually seeing something that's spiritual. He said, waken me as a man out of a sleep. What do you see? So I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other at its left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. That's our key verse or key thought. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. For those of you who were with me on Sunday, and as you go back, you see here another instance of a search engine, that there is some searching that's happening here that's very important. And we'll deal with that in some of our ministry going forward. All right, Zechariah 4 describes a prophetic picture of encouragement to an ancient Israeli prince and leader named Zerubbabel. He, along with a priest named Joshua, were guiding the people as they sought to rebuild the temple of God that had fallen into disrepair due to their sin and disobedience. To come alongside these two principal leaders, God had raised up two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, who encouraged them based on a series of prophetic visions. The things they shared also give us hope and help when we attempt to co-labor with God in the fulfillment of a divine dream and kingdom vision. Now, you know, or may know the history. The children of Israel had raised up a great king, David, whose son Solomon had built the temple. Solomon's idolatry in his later years sowed the seed of destruction that eventually caused the children of Israel to go into slavery and their temple to be destroyed. God raised up two leaders, Zerubbabel, the apostolic governor, and Joshua, the pastoral priest and teacher, to lead the rebuilding process of the temple. However, they faced much opposition, so much so that the process of building had come to a complete stop. To help these two in the building process, God raised up two prophets, Zechariah and Haggai, to assist in the work by providing prophetic encouragement to the prince, the priest, and the people. It was into this situation and this time that the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel through Zechariah. Not by might. This word speaks to the force of military might or numbers. Do you ever feel outgunned or outmanned when you start the work of the Lord? That's okay. God's work does not start out or finish well because of great numbers. But it's not just not by might, it says nor by power. This word speaks of personal force, or what we would call willpower. While you can do much with the power of your will, it takes more to achieve a vision from God than simply being willing and disciplined. The victory you need will not come through might, army, the power of a crowd of committed people. The victory you need will not come through personal power. The act of the will of man is the motivation for his actions. The power you need will come through the Spirit of God, who is anointing the leaders and through them anointing all the people who are partaker of their graces. Figured prominently in this vision is not only the golden candlestick, but olive trees. Olive oil in scripture is always a type and figure of the Holy Spirit. All right, so let's get into some principles here. 8 power keys for the Spirit-empowered visionary, Spirit-empowered visionary fulfillment from Zechariah 4, 1 through 10. Number one, recognize that human power, whether the power of one or of many, is not sufficient to win. Here's the mystery of the partners with God. A person must receive the vision. People must act on it as law. But the fulfillment of the vision doesn't come from all those things, but from God, the giver of vision. Remember Joshua before the Battle of Jericho? See, God, the angel said to him, I have given you this city and the inhabitants thereof. Then the people are to walk 7 days and say nothing, but on the seventh day, walk 7 times, then shout. What? How long do you think they could shout in their own strength and cause walls so thick that a house could be built on it to go down flat? Well, there's not that much shouting in the world. They had to participate, but it was God's supernatural power that empowered them to win. By the way, that meant that the walls came down like an elevator because every person could go straight in front of him into a previously walled city. Remember 2 Chronicles 20, the battle is not yours but the Lord. However, you still have to get up and go out against them. Number two, understand the necessity of being born of, filled with, guided by, and empowered by the Holy Spirit. All four of these is possible, but not always present in the life of a New Testament believer. Some are born of the Spirit. That's what it means to be born again. That's John chapter 3. Unless you be born again, Jesus told Nicodemus when he came at night, Nick at night, I like to call him. Some are born of the Spirit, but not filled with the Spirit. Okay, so some are born of the Spirit, born again, but not have been baptized with the things that they've been born of. And that is a secondary experience. Some are filled with the Spirit, but then ignore the guidance of the Spirit. Others are guided by the Spirit, but don't actively cultivate the empowerment of the Spirit that came upon them in their infilling with the Spirit. Your Bible says it this way, Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Like, we want to be born of God. We want to be filled with Him. We want to be empowered by His Spirit. And then we want to follow the guidance of that Spirit to walk out His will in our lives. All right? Number three, recognize the importance of speaking to your mountain of difficulty and opposition. You remember in our text, the prophet said, "Who are you, O great mountain?" So he was speaking to a mountain of difficulty and opposition. Now, why is this important? Because things talk to you. When I talk about this, I talk about how sometimes Bill will talk to you. I'm talking about the house bill, the gas bill, the car bill, the light bill. Bill talks. I can remember a time when I was having a particular difficulty at work, and the specific leader at that time was telling me that, and he did it just before the Christmas holiday, that I needed to go find a different job. And, you know, that what a great way to mess with your mind when you're on Christmas break. So during that Christmas time, thinking about that, I would go to sleep, and sometimes I would wake up almost in a sweat, not a sweat, but I felt like that the Bill was talking to me. I was thinking about my house. I was thinking about all of the things. And so since things talk to you, you have to be willing and able to talk back to the things, but to tell the things are telling you what the enemy will say, but you have to tell them what God says. Mark 11:22-23, Jesus answered, said unto them, "Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." So you have to be willing to speak to stuff, because stuff does speak to you. All right? Number four, realize that it is by the exercise of faith that you connect to God's grace. Now, in Mark's account, it talks about things from the faith perspective. But in Zechariah, if you remember, it talked about things from the grace perspective. Grace and faith are partners in your receiving from God. I like to think of it this way. Grace is God as quarterback giving. Faith is you on the other side receiving. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Now, both grace and faith are gifts from God, but grace is God's willingness to favor you. Faith is you believing it and receiving it and taking what God has made available to you. So both are required. Faith only works because of God's grace. In other words, if God had given it, you could believe for what you want. Sometimes people make up stuff, and then they, in the hyper faith movement, and I'm not disparaging a faith, I'm just saying you can go beyond what God promised you in faith, and then you'll miss it because God never promised it. I've had people say, "Man, I believe God that I'm gonna be tall like you." Well, the scripture says, "Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to your height?" I don't know that God promised you that He'd make you as tall as me. I didn't know He didn't promise me He'd make me as tall as me. So I don't know Like, where do you believe that from? What's your basis of it? I had another person say, I believe that you're going to buy me a car. And I said, that's fine for you to believe that. I never promised you, and God never promised you that David was going to buy you a car. So why did you believe that? Like, you made stuff up. And so sometimes we come up with belief systems that the Bible doesn't give you the, I'm Jesus, I approve that message. And then we wonder why we have faith shipwrecks. No, we have to believe for stuff that God has favored us to give. But when he favors us, you have to believe it and go get it. The classic example of that to me is the children of Israel when they were in Egypt and God said he was going to put favor on them and then they were going to go to the same Egyptians that had beaten them for hundreds of years and then they were going to ask those Egyptians to give them gold and the Egyptians were going to give them gold because God had favored them, but they had to believe enough to go to that same door that somebody would have beaten them out of before and asked them for the thing that before they couldn't have received. Why? Because God had graced them, but they had to receive it by faith. Hopefully that picture there is helpful for you. Our fifth point is God, the Holy Spirit, empowers you to start and finish with excellence. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Like, then it says, Zerubbabel started and he's going to finish it. The Holy Spirit was the empowerment to both start strong and to finish strong. The hands that laid the foundation will finish the headstone or the capstone. There is a starting grace. And if you stay with the Holy Spirit, he'll give you finishing grace as well, because Jesus is the author and the finisher of faith. So there's starting faith and finishing faith, and there's starting grace and finishing grace, all by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. There's a challenge of perspective, though, that we must face to fully activate this grace ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It is this, that we have a big mountain and a small beginning to which and before which our collective and personal strength do not seem sufficient to move. That's the season of contradiction where, man, I got a big mountain and I got a small beginning. And so how do we deal with that? Well, we do not despise our day of small beginnings. So many times, because God came with such power and fanfare when he announced the vision, we tend to believe that the vision should take us from zero to zillions in no time flat. We forget this immutable law of God. You will have a day of small beginnings. For Moses, it was on the backside of Midian. For David, it was being forgotten by his brothers while keeping his father's sheep. For Joseph, it was his day in the pit and in prison. For Daniel, it was his period of captive slavery. For Jesus, it was his birth in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Scripture says, who has despised the day of small beginnings? Don't do that. Don't allow the size of your start to and the size of your mountain to consume the size of your vision. Remember the children of Israel when the 10 spies, the 12 spies had went in, two said we're well able to take it. The 10 spy says they're out there like giants and we are like grasshoppers in their sight, and so are we in our own sight. So they saw themselves small. And because of that, they couldn't defeat the large giants that were out there. But the problem wasn't the giants out there. The size of the mountain is not the problem. It's the size that we see ourselves inside when we have our small beginning. All right. So understand, number seven, understand that the Holy Spirit manifests himself in small starts done with diligent detail. It calls it in our core scriptures that we read today a plumb line. A plumb line is a tool used, or plummet is a tool used by a master architect and building contractor to ensure that the building is straight and square. If you have a plumb line, then good enough is not good enough. What you have is organized. Like, good enough is not good enough. You have to organize with excellence. In other words, start with what you have, but organize what you have with the greatest excellence and detail that you can manifest at that moment, and then work to improve that excellence over time. What you have, make sure that what you have is organized to the best excellence that you are capable of achieving. Our scripture in Zechariah 4 says that small starts done with diligent details actually gets God excited. God's excited when he's found a people who are willing to start small, start in faith, but start with excellence and put that excellence in play. In the middle of the situation, the eyes of the Lord, the eyes of the Lord there is a sevenfold manifestation of the Spirit of God, sees something that causes him to rejoice. See, this is the Holy Spirit again. Holy Spirit is inside the person, but the Holy Spirit is hovering over your situation, just like the Holy Spirit hovered over the water in the creation experience when the earth was without form and void. And darkness covered everything, but it said the Spirit of the Lord hovered over the waters. This passage of scripture describes the sevenfold manifestation of the Spirit of God hovering over as eyes watching you from every possible angle. And it says that the Spirit of God, when you start with diligence, when you start with excellence, when you put the best excellence and diligence you can to your small beginning, that the Holy Spirit rejoices over you as you begin. Not only did Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people have, did they have perfect hearts, meaning their hearts were loyal to God, but they had productive hands. They found a plumb line, God found a plumb line in the hand of the leader. He found a tool used to organize the work with excellence. It meant in the face of overwhelming odds, opposition, and obvious challenges that they took what they had, started with the pattern God gave them, and organized for success. The Holy Spirit scours the earth to get whatever you need to finish the job on time with quality. There's that search engine again. When the eyes of the Lord, which is the Holy Spirit, find you doing what you can, whatever resource, wherever it is on the planet, he finds wherever it is and begins the process of getting it from there to you so that you can finish on time with excellence. And then finally, number eight, the law of process says, I should expect a small start. Nothing's wrong. I just start small because God is in small beginnings. I should expect serious situations. I should expect problems along the way. I should expect supernatural solutions, that God is going to get involved with the serious situations supernaturally and move me forward, all by that grace of God, not in my own power, not in my own might. I should expect incremental increase. I should expect that progress begins to grow as I go. And then at the end, I should expect an overwhelming outcome. Verse 31 through 32 says, and another parable put he, Jesus, forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, very small beginning. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. That's how you should be believing for your vision. Even if it's a small start, you should believe that it should grow along the way. All right, that's what I wanted to share. Joshua, I wanted to see if there's anything, questions, comments that came out of our lesson today that people wanted me to share on or elaborate.
No questions today, Pastor Ben.
Okay. All right. I think I got one more. Don't quote me on that. I'm planning on closing out next week, but I was planning on closing out last week. So if he extends it, I'll extend it. But I think I have one more in me. Please take the time. I just want you to know how to give. If you download the app in your app store, Givelify, look up Destiny Generation Church. You'll see me there smiling. And if you want to give and support the vision that God gave us for worship and Wisdom Wednesdays. All right. And I also just want to remind you that we have one book. If our worship has been a blessing to you and you want to know more about that, Unlocking the Heavens Through Thanksgiving, you can reach out to us and inbox us if you want a hard copy, or if you like the electronic versions on Kindle, just know that it's out here on Amazon as well. All right, I think that's all. I don't have an engagement this Sunday, but I will have one to talk to you about in our session next week. Okay, all right, let's close out in prayer. We just want to thank you for sharing this. And again, remember, I'm going to stop sharing now and encourage you that if this word is a blessing to you, please like, share, invite others to the process. We love to continue to do that. We're really working to gather a community. Also let people know about us on their podcast channel under Destiny Generation Church, and you can look us up and find us there as well. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that your spirit is here empowering us for visionary success, even if our beginning is small, even if we face big mountains, as we trust in you that you will help us, that you will assist us, that you will anoint us, just as the oil flowed from the olive trees, Lord, into the vision, Lord. You'll cause leaders, first and secondary leaders, to pour out of the anointing on their lives into the vision, that the vision will be successful. Lord, I ask that you bless me in this David Johnson Ministries International Destiny Generation Church vision, that you would help me and empower me and those that have come alongside me. You know them person by person, name by name. We bless each and every one. I pray for leaders that are under the sound of my voice in whatever sphere of assignment that they have, that you would empower them, that you would bless them, that you would enrich them, that you would guide them, that you would cause them to sense and know your language and visions and dreams as they work and to walk out the visions that you have placed in their lives. We thank you for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you. I pray you are blessed today. See you next time.